And Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your words at the end of the parable that the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Lord, we recognize that all of creation eagerly longs in earnest for us to be revealed as your children. And the glory that we have as an inheritance, as heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Lord, we pray today that we would understand and appreciate what it means that we are children of God, that we are adopted as your children, that we have this wonderful privilege and honor to be called children of God. Lord, bless your word to us this day. May it touch our hearts. May it change our lives. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who's got your back? Ever asked that question? Ever felt like you were out there all alone? Ever got into a situation where everyone else thought you were here? And you were over here, and so you recognize that you're all by yourself. Ever happen? How do you feel when you get kind of all alone when you don't want to be alone? There's times where you want to be alone, right? There's times when you just eagerly desire to have some quiet time alone. But I'm not talking about that kind of time. I'm talking about the time where you really do think that you're with a group or a crowd, or you feel like you have people watching your back, and all of a sudden you figure out, wow, I'm here by myself. How do you feel at those moments? Scared? Anxious? Fearful? Yeah? It's interesting because Satan likes us to be in that place. It's his desire that we would feel like we are surrounded by weeds, that we don't have someone who's got our back. He wants us to feel like we're walking in a place that's not safe. Because fear does not embolden us to be what Isaiah, the prophet whose name means the Lord saves, taught us today in the Old Testament lesson, where he says, there is no rock, there is no other God but him, but God. And he says, we are his witnesses. And yet Satan would like us to be thinking of ourselves as unworthy, insignificant, small, alone, and powerless. Because isn't that what weeds do? What do weeds do to the good seed? Ms. Hart was talking about that. What do the weeds do to the good seeds? That's right. They wrap themselves. They try to choke out the life of the good seed, right? And if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of weeds out there. And if you happen to be in a patch where you're the only good seed in the midst of weeds, you get feeling a little bit starved, right? A little bit thirsty. You get to wonder, am I ever going to have what I need? And it's interesting because St. Paul's answer to this is for us to understand who we are. That we are one truly sent by God because we have His Word. We have His Spirit. It's imprinted on our hearts and our minds. We are the ones who are called. And he goes so far as in Romans 8, and that's why we're looking at Romans 8, because he uses language there that is amazing language. He called us last week. He said we are adopted as children of God, sons of God. And in that adoption, we become heirs with great responsibility, with great reward, with high privilege and honor to be heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that all of creation, now listen to that word, all of creation. Now, I have to tell you that this construct here in this verse is extremely difficult in the Greek language. Because have you ever noticed, have you ever listened to somebody who uses really big words to make themselves sound smart? No? Haven't run across people like that? It's like they have a thesaurus on the in their bathroom and they read it every morning. And they try to figure out, what word can I use where I could have used a simple word, right? Well, I don't know what it was, but St. Paul thought it was so important for us to understand this that he used a construct for eagerly waits that is really unique because it's three words. And the first word simply means for, meaning this is something we're waiting for. The other word is wait, but the other word is head. And what's so interesting is the construct makes it sound like you never watched a cartoon where the person's neck goes out, way out from their body, where they can actually turn around and look at their body. That's what it sounds like in the Greek. It sounds like, you know who you are. You're children of God. You know what God has put on your heart. He's put His Holy Spirit in you. And you know where you're going when you die. You know who you are in Christ. You know the privilege and the honor. You know the inheritance you have. And yet your body's back here and you're looking back at it saying, come on! It's a weird construct in the Greek language for eagerly waits. And if you look at each translation out there, whether the King James or the NIV or the RSV or the English Standard that we have in the pews, if you look, every different language, every different translator's frustrated trying to figure out how to explain how all the creation eagerly, earnestly longs for the sons of God, meaning us, children of God, to be revealed. Isn't that amazing? Because creation didn't get this way, you know, and I want to just make one thing clear. I'm not all for this new agey tree hugger stuff, okay? But I believe that as Christians, we are responsible to be good stewards of creation. That's what we were told right from the beginning, right? Now nothing's changed. Some of us take be fruitful, multiply a little bit more literally than others. But nothing's changed, right? We're still the stewards of God's creation. And it was Adam, that's what he's talking about here, Adam who caused creation to fall into decay. It was the will of Adam who said, no, I'm going to take that fruit and I'm going to eat it. And he's the one who caused all of creation to fall into decay. And all of creation eagerly desires and waits with expectation for the end when Isaiah tells us God will create a new heaven and a new earth. Brothers and sisters, we have been given a privilege to be God's witnesses, to be those sons that will shine in the kingdom of our God. We're the righteous who are going to shine like the sun, I should say, not Shine like the sun in the kingdom of our God. We are the people whom God has called, and who, and we not only have, as Hebrews 12 tells us, such a great cloud of witnesses, which are the saints that have gone before us, urging us on, but we have creation saying to us, tell them! Speak what you know. And he even goes on to say, and when you're praying, if you can't pray, then the Holy Spirit's going to groan and intercede for you with words that we won't understand. Isn't that awesome? I mean, just understand how important it is that we share what we have received and that we know who we are. You're going to get tired of this. By the end of July, you're going to be thinking, can we move on? Because Romans 8 is so full of this language. And if you read it over and over again, because it's so full of St. Paul wanting to shake people up and say, do you understand what you have? Do you understand who you are? Do you not know that Satan cannot touch you? And we're going to talk about that next week. Do you not know that even when you are struggling for words to speak to the God of the universe, who you can call Abba Father, the Spirit will give you those words? I mean, isn't that awesome? And so I'm going to challenge you now, because I believe God wants us to practice celebrating what He's doing in the midst of His people, what all of creation is yearning and eagerly desiring, their heads there, and they're saying, come on, tell us what you've experienced. What has God revealed to you in your life experience? What has He done? How has His glory touched you? How has His healing touched you? I mean, it's only been a little over a year since the Lord healed me, and you know, I sometimes go about my business forgetting the fact the Lord healed me, complaining when I could have been dead, saying, boy, I really hate these things I'm going to take, you know. And I forget, because that's what happens when we think we're alone, when we forget who we are, when we think that nobody's got our back. And I'll tell you something. There's a guy named Elisha in the Old Testament, and Elisha had a servant, and Elisha did some things that angered one of the kings, and the king brought all of his chariots and everything to Elisha's house. And Elisha's servant went out in the morning, and you can look this up. And Elisha's servant went out in the morning, and he got freaked out because he walked out, and what was around him? Remember the story? Soldiers and chariots. And he walks back into Elisha, and he says, Master, we're toast. Well, that's my translation. We're in trouble. Remember that? And what does Elisha pray? This is so funny, because what does Elisha pray? He doesn't say, oh, you better go call the king and let's get some allies. Let's get some support. Let's call out the troops. What does he pray? He prays that his servant's eyes may be opened and that the truth be revealed. And what happened when his eyes were open? He walked out and he saw God's army. Now you think, just for a second, do you think that might have changed his perspective a little bit? You think he started thinking to himself, man, I was about to switch sides. Smart. You see, we need to pray that God would reveal, and this is how he does it, through the body, through his people, he will reveal to us that he is alive and well and got our backs. And we have nothing to worry about. Anxiety for us should be a thing that we take and get rid of immediately. Right? Listen to Philippians chapter 4. Check it out. It should be something that comes and goes. And I'm guilty as anyone else. I let it get to me. This last week there, I don't know what happened, but, you know, the building and all this stuff, I started to get anxious. And I don't do good with anxious. If you've been around me long enough, you know I don't do good with anxious. I have been blessed with the ability to get rid of it quickly, to recognize that this is anxiety. Lord, get it off of me. And he's always faithful. But every once in a while I forget, and it hangs around for a while, and it's really not fun. And you think to yourself, after you get rid of it, you go, well, why didn't I do that sooner? Duh. You know, I mean, that's the privilege we have as children of God. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We are able to talk to the God of the universe and say, Abba, Father. And when we pray, if we can't pray with words, he will give us the words and he will intercede for us. Isn't that awesome? So I'm going to close there and ask, is there anyone who would like to share what has been revealed to them in their life as a child of God? Can you get the microphone? Good, thank you.
And there are no roads, so it's just kind of like I'm pulling these little. And the song came to me, step by step, we're taking the land. And I just kind of decided to just relax and just kind of let the Lord talk to me while I was up there picking the weed. And it was amazing, just kind of the presence of the Lord. And then kind of another situation, I was with one of the workers alone. But he was talking about, I don't know, everything the same, death and life, and da da da. And I said, well, I just rejoice that I'm a Christian and I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord going to heaven. That's reality.
Cool. Thank you. Give him a hand. Wendy wanted to. Wendy Voorhees.
The process of moving to Minnesota, as you all may know, we now own a home there. The event surrounding that, Karen said, oh, she stopped by in the house at Christmas. somebody that wanted it. So here we were, essentially alone in the neighborhood. We'd never met anybody there. Our realtor wasn't even from that area, but she worked with us. We knew no one. I went next door and I knocked on the door and I said, "Hi," introduced myself, and they were very gracious and welcomed me. And they said, "No, there hasn't been any hail damage." And a guy named Bob Harris and his wife Dana. And he said, "You know, I think I can find something out," but he said, "No, we haven't had any hail damage. If you describe that being the case." So I went back to the house that we now own and was talking to my wife and the realtor, and there was a knock on the front door. And it was Bob. And Bob said, "You know, I talked to the man that has done all the roofing work on this house. He goes to my church." Well, turns out the guy's got a complete file folder. All the work that he did in the house, and he replaced the roof 5 years ago and done some other work. So I learned all the detail that I'd ever want to know about the roof of the house before we even put the offer in when it had to be the stone. Further, Bob and his wife are profound Christians. Bob, in his spare time as a hobby, puts together electronic gear for Bible trivia. And it's been quite a lucrative hobby for him over a number of years. But what I've seen is that the couple next door, extremely generous Christians, almost fall over themselves to help us. We've been really welcomed by them. We found a church there that is much in size and character with the cross and resurrection, we would feel like that's probably where we're going. Really, I've been seeing the hand of God in this welcoming. And I will say, it is a joy to be closer to the grandchildren. By way of timetable, we will be here through the rest of this. Well, next Saturday, we'll return to Minnesota. Hopefully, for close to a month. But we will be back towards the end of August to continue work on our week.
Thank you.
I didn't know I was going to share until this morning when we were singing the song "Indescribable." And the last line in that song is, "You are amazing, God." And I'm singing away, not really, thinking about how amazing God is. But then he gave me this picture while I was singing. And it reminded me of something that used to happen when our kids were little. I was reluctant to buy things for them that they weren't in, or for them to buy things that were breakable, like ceramic piggy banks and different stuff like that, because they would get attached to them and then they would break, and they'd be heartbroken when these things break. And usually they break in a million pieces. And it's too many pieces to put that together, and so you have to throw them away. And so I would always try to talk them into something that wasn't breakable, especially when they were really little. That wasn't what they wanted. Usually they wanted the breakable one, but sometimes I gave in. But God gave me a picture while we were singing, and it was a picture sort of my life, when Jim died almost 2 years ago, in September it'll be 2 years, so we're looking at, about a couple of months from now. I felt like what that did was shatter my life in a million pieces when Jim died. And while I was singing that song, God said, "I am putting the pieces back together."
Amen.
You know, there are a lot of pieces, you know, and there are more than you thought could ever be put back together. I'm putting the pieces back together. So your life won't be the same as it was before, but it will be good and it will be whole. So I just want to thank the Lord for healing, because that's a sign that God is healing me a little bit at a time, making my life whole and gives me hope.
Amen. Oh, well.
So I brought that picture, and that was sort of scared for this guy. And he thought that was great. And he bounced back into the hospital one more time, and I got him out to assist living the next time. And I wanted to see him, and he wasn't there. So I left him a note to see that. And the next day, I found out he was back in the hospital again, which was just before I left to come here. In the course of our conversation, he was very entertaining, telling me lots of fun stories, but lots of pain, lots of baggage, lots of
Bruce, over there. Over there. Okay.
And kind of with that, I was able to share with her, my nonprofit organization ministry been called Team of Hope. And I was like, yeah, I started this. It's an organization meant to spread the love of Christ with everyone. She's like, that is so cool. And so I gave her one of the bracelets, and she's like, this has been the best day ever. And she gave me a hug. It's on.
I didn't know I was scared of you either. So. but really encouraging to hear all of these other stories. And when Pastor talked about feeling alone, I realized that I had an experience recently in that I would share. Some of you may know the And I realized, oh, you know, I'm alone here. Not alone in terms of having no other staff or anything. We had other students with us who were going to participate in the teaching. But they would have to be organized and directed and, you know, led, essentially. So that fell to me, and I felt very intimidated for about a week and a half. But the Lord provided in so many ways. I won't go into all the details. It was a matter of faith, step by step, day by day, just trusting Him for the provision of help and ideas and, you know, connection with the place where we're doing it. There was quite a bit of, there's a little bit of politics involved. You know, all these things that made it a complex situation. In the end, it turned out perfectly. We had 30 students from 9 different countries. They were at all levels of English. Some of them, you know, postdoc, Oxford-type people, and some of them, you know, high school grads from Brazil. They were a fantastic bunch of people. And it turned out that this program is undergirded by two wonderful evangelical churches in Oxford who are making it very intentional to reach out to not only students of the various colleges in Oxford, but also the whole population in the city there, which is very diverse. So we had the experience of connecting with these churches, and that's my ideas for our church. But it was really neat to see how they, the kinds of events that they created and drew people into toward the end of our teaching session, because it turned out that they had plans that we didn't know about at the beginning. And so there were social events toward the end where we all got to interact, and the gospel was shared, and people gave testimony. It was just a wonderful thing to see how all these folks, many of them Asians, were just drawn in to the house of God and the life of God was shared.
Great.
So,
praise the Lord.
I was blessed, and I think they were too.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. That's good. Thank you. Well, I know we have probably more, but unfortunately, we don't have enough time. We'll have to do this again soon. But thank you for sharing what God has been revealing. Because our God is alive and well. He's got our back. And He wants us to share what He has revealed in His Word and in our lives together as children of God. Let's stand.